Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In high school, one of my favorite teachers was a man let's call Mr. Smith. I enjoyed his sense of humor, which was rather dry. I enjoyed his variety of teaching styles, and I enjoyed the supportiveness that he would give to the students. I also enjoyed having him as a soccer coach, and I know that he enjoyed having me as a student as well, for he once said in class that I was one of his favorite students. That didn't go over very well with the others, unfortunately. And I knew that he was instrumental in getting me a $2,000 scholarship for college. Unfortunately, though, there was one issue with Mr. Smith. He was a pretty open unbeliever. Case in point, one time at soccer practice, as the varsity coach was addressing us before we went home for the weekend, he said something like this: "Now, gentlemen, when you go home on this weekend and go to church..." Well, when Mr. Smith heard that, he chimed in and said, "Church? Ha! Why would I ever waste my time going there? Why would anybody ever bother going to church?" He was not shy about his unbelief. And during one of my last days of my senior year, we had one final conversation in the hallway. When he saw me walking by, he said, "Hey, Nick, I heard you got one of the big scholarships for college. So where are you going to school? What are you going to do with your life?" Yeah, that's right. And what followed was one of the most uncomfortable and awkward conversations in my life. I debated about what to say because at that point I knew I wanted to become a pastor, but on the other hand, I knew that he would be upset and disappointed with my decision. I valued our friendship and the relationship we had, and so I debated in my head, what do I say? So I mustered up the courage and said, "Well, I'm actually going to Concordia, Wisconsin, and I'm going there to become a pastor." And as I heard that, there was silence. There was a few seconds in which we didn't say anything, and it felt like an eternity. And so, awkwardly, he said, "Well, hot tamale, good luck with that," and went back into his classroom. We unfortunately never had a conversation again. Following Jesus can be a challenging thing to do. It can lead to uncomfortable moments and conversations in our lives, just like the one I had described. It can lead to a loss of friendships and close relationships. Sometimes following the Lord can lead to suffering and hardships. Unfortunately, Jesus tells us in our gospel reading this morning that this will happen. He says the gospel of peace will bring problems. He says the gospel of salvation will bring strife and suffering. Our Lord tells us and the disciples this morning that division will come when we follow him. He starts off by saying, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." What a shock that must have been to the disciples. Jesus has been giving them all throughout chapter 10 instructions about how they're to go out into the world and to share God's peace. But now, he says he's come to bring a sword. And that can even be surprising for us to hear too, because we like to focus on Jesus' saving work. But the point that Jesus makes is that he wants us and them to know that his coming is like a sword that divides people. Some people will believe in him. Others will not. They will reject him due to sin and stubbornness. They will be against him. There is no fence sitting when it comes to Jesus. You're either for him or you're against him. You love him or you hate him. There is no middle ground. And as a result, this brings division. And Jesus quotes Micah 7 to illustrate his point and to show the depth that this division creates. The prophet Micah says, "Put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend, guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." in Micah's prophecy, the terrible conflict in families as a result of the sinful condition of the people in his day. In a tragically similar way, even though divine peace comes to those who are given faith to follow and trust in Jesus, conflict will result between those family members who refuse to believe and who refuse to repent. This too is a result of the sinful condition. And this division is not easy, especially when it results in our own family. It's very painful. This division can be painful as we may have arguments about faith at family parties or gatherings. Perhaps it's a family rule that you're not allowed to talk about faith at these events since everyone always seems to fight about it. This division can be devastating as we see people in dangerous spots spiritually. And this division created by Jesus can be awkward and uncomfortable as you have your beliefs and that other person has their beliefs that they are not willing to change. The message of Jesus brings division and unfortunately can go down to the closest relationships in our family. And if this wasn't a challenge, he continues by telling us the cost of following him. He says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me too." Jesus mentions two of the most important relationships in our lives. He mentions those above us, parents, and he mentions those below us, children. These can be some of the most precious and important people in our lives. The cost of following Jesus may cost us these things. But implied in our Lord's words, though, is this thought. He says, "You are to love me more." We are to love our Lord more than the cherished people and relationships in our lives. Our loyalty to him is to be greater than the loyalty we show to others in our lives. In situations in which we are to pick between family, friends, and our Lord, we are to pick our Lord, no matter how challenging that may be. When people say, "You pick me in my ways rather than your Jesus and his ways," we are to pick Jesus. And that's not easy. That's incredibly difficult. That can be extremely painful. There can be fallout, fighting, and a constant friction in our relationships because of that. Things very well might never be the same again. And what do we do when that happens? We still love them. Notice what Jesus says. He says, "Whoever loves father or mother, and whoever loves son or daughter," notice he says, we're still to love them. We're to love both Jesus and them, but we're to love him more. We make a loving witness to these people when they are hostile against us. We are to show them love when they are upset, when things are awkward and uncomfortable in our relationships with them. We are to show that person the love that Jesus has not only for us, but also for them as well. And we also pray. We cannot change hearts. We would love to, but unfortunately we can't. Only Jesus through the Holy Spirit can do that. So we pray for patience as we wait. And we pray for comfort and guidance as we do. We are to love Jesus more than the precious people and relationships in our lives. And we're to also love him more than the world and life itself. Jesus says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." The talk of a cross would have been really intriguing to the disciples. The cross was the most vile way to die in the ancient world. It was a death so horrible that people wouldn't even mention the word cross. The cross was the epitome of suffering and shame. It was the one way you wouldn't want to go or leave this world. Jesus says, in our life, we will have to bear the cross. Following Jesus can bring suffering and hardships and maybe even death. We might be ridiculed or mocked for our faith. We might lose a promotion at work. We might lose our job. We might miss out on fun and special opportunities, and we might miss out on the chance of fitting in, all at the cost of following Jesus and believing in him But our Lord comforts us with some paradoxical words. Listen to what he says. He says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It is in our loss of this life by suffering, sword, or shame for the Savior that we actually find our life in him because we cling to him in faith. Jesus says that it's in our loss that we have the greatest gain and comfort, and that's him. The cost of following Jesus can be great, but the cost of not following him is even greater. And as we wrestle with the division and strife that following him creates, what do? Micah said these words in his day as he saw the division that sin created. This verse follows what Jesus quoted. Micah says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In that conflict and strife, Micah looked to the Lord, and it's the same for us. We're to look to the God who is our salvation, to the God who hears our cries and who hears our pleas. We look to the one who loved us more than his own life and all that the world can give. We look to the one who persevered when his family thought he was crazy and that he should stop his ministry and go back home. And we look to the one who bore the cross for you and for me, and who bore the suffering and shame of it all to give us peace. The author of Hebrews puts it in a different way when he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Our Lord gave up his life for us and did it joyfully so that we could have his peace, and he is seated at God's right hand. Nothing can separate us from him or that peace. Nothing, not even a sword. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who gives us his peace. Amen.